It's like a that grandparent that or
yeah.
that uncle
Well,
that come yeah.
They just say they're
yeah,
Satan.
exactly. You take them out, you're just like, who knows what Uncle Uli's gonna say next, but just be ready to apologize.
He means well, you know, but you know, sometimes he just gets all worked up, you know.
Hello and welcome to the Super Byron Podcast. Despite making things a bit harder on themselves than necessary, Bayern Munich overcame SC Paderborn 3-2 on Saturday, going top of the Bundesliga table ahead of RB Leipzig. The Bavarians have their first major test of the season in the Champions League on Tuesday, though, where Robert Lewandowski, Felipe Coutinho, and everyone else will be eager to show their worth against a struggling Tottenham side. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to talk about those matches with my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hello, hello.
And Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
So let's go ahead and start with the match that took place yesterday. Bayern Munich traveled to Paderborn and came away with a 3-2 win. It was kind of the typical Bayern performances that we've been seeing lately where the scoreline didn't exactly reflect the way that the match panned out. Serge Gnabry, Felipe Coutinho, and of course Robert Lewandowski, can't forget him. They all got on the score sheet. But honestly, Bayern really could have come away with a 6 or 7-0 win in this one, and it really wouldn't have been too much of a surprise. It was really kind of a wasteful game in attack. But we got the win. We're top of the Bundesliga table. So things are looking pretty good. Sebastian, I'll come to you first. Just what were your overall thoughts about this match in general?
I think this time the numbers or the scoreline, as you said, really don't tell much of the story. If people have watched this match, for me, it was a clear win. There was not really too big problems. The goals were really kind of singular things that happened that are sometimes they come down to experimentation, like, for example, Davies as a fullback and stuff like that. And yeah, it's just very, very singular things that happened just once and not things that are systematically problematic in any way from my perspective. What I found interesting about this match is that we did not rely on Robert Lewandowski as much as we usually do. And that's something I really like. That's not necessarily, well, of course, people know that I'm not the biggest fan of Robert Lewandowski. That is really not meant as criticism of Robert Lewandowski. It's really just that I have been feeling for a long time that no matter who's our striker in the middle, we really need to get other players involved, get other players to score, because against top competition, that's just not going to cut it, and you're going to need more players who can score. And I really like that in this match, especially the combination of Gnabry and Coutinho. Not that Coman played badly or anything like that, but I found it very interesting that Coutinho was he was often coming over the wing at times, then he was in the middle again. Well, his play isn't so much him doing things on his own anymore. He's now more and more becoming an integral part of this team, and I like that very much. And of course, Gnabry bouncing back is also very, very impressive and very nice.
Yeah, you brought up Felipe Coutinho, and for me, he was definitely the man of the match in this game. So it kind of makes it two in a row where he's just really kind of shown his worth. And it's just so great to see because, you know, we obviously know he was Bayern's second choice for the big signing of the summer after Bayern missed out on Leroy Sané. And now he's proven his worth over and over and over. Garrett, would you agree with me there? You think Coutinho is probably the best player for Bayern in this match?
Yeah, I think he definitely was kind of the engine that made it all kind of work, and the moments that Bayern saw that actually could have seen a couple more goals had a lot to do with his play in the middle. And so yeah, it's just really nice to see now Bayern seeming to kind of get that cohesion and kind of have just major impact players at every level of on the pitch. I mean, you have Neuer in goal, and then I think once Alaba is back and Lucas can go into the middle, we have, you know, an excellent back four. Kimmich has been looking really good in a defensive midfield sort of position. And then you have Coutinho, and you have, you know, our two young wingers, plus you have Perisic off the back bench. You have Muller off the bench. And then, of course, Robert Lewandowski, you know, having the season of his life, you know, with 10 goals in 6 matches. And, you know, things are going pretty well for Bayern. And in terms of you can see it all sort of coming together. I think that kind of what we talked about earlier, the concern is that, again, there was basically two chances that Paderborn really had, and both ended up in the back of the net. The first one seemed like it could have been a mistake on Alphonso Davies' part. And then the second one was just kind of bizarre, amazing goal. So you can't really be too angry about it. And as Sebastian said, those aren't systemic by any means. So, yeah, the scoreline's not something that we would have liked. I mean, we would have much rather liked a Mainz type scoreline, but a win's a win, and Bayern looked pretty good for large stretches of the match. And yeah, Coutinho has been a big reason for that. It seems like he's done a really good job at connecting all parts of the field. And now, as Sebastian also mentioned, it seems like there's more, not that there weren't any threats offensively, because, you know, we did see Gnabry and Coman at times all, you know, having an impact last year. But now it seems like it's not Lewandowski scores or we're probably not going to score. It seems like now with Coutinho kind of running in the middle there, we're starting to see, you know, where's it going to come from? It's going to come from somewhere. And that's really encouraging, especially with Champions League starting to really get into gear and looking like it's Bayern's for the taking as far as the group that they're in. And then and with some of the I don't know how exactly put it, but the Bundesliga is strong, but it's they're the top 7 or 8 are kind of eating each other alive, in that, you know, it's a good league. And so Bayern has a real chance to really kind of make a run early here and try to gain a gap in the Bundesliga. And yeah, I was skeptical of Coutinho, but he's been everything we could have hoped for at this point.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. There's only so much you can tell from statistics, obviously, but if you look at the expected goals from yesterday's game, Bayern had an expected goals of 3.47, whereas Paderborn's was 0.28. So that statistic certainly reflects what we were just talking about. You know, Bayern were by far the dominant team, should have and could have scored more, and Paderborn just did really well to take the chances that kind of came their way. One of the chances Bayern really probably should have put away came very early in the match when Serge Gnabry laid a ball across goal to Robert Lewandowski. It was about as easy of a chance as you could have asked for, and Lewandowski put it wide. But Sebastian, I do want to come to you to talk about Serge Gnabry, because yesterday seemed like his first really, really good game of the season. It was the first game where we saw the Serge Gnabry that lit up the Bundesliga last season. And I guess possibly he could be your man of the match. He had a goal and an assist, just like Coutinho did. But I just wanted, you know, do you think that this is, you know, maybe finally the return of the Serge Gnabry that we've been hoping to see?
Yeah, I do think so. I think I said this last week that I feel this is about the offense slowly coming together, finding how they want to play together with these new players, especially Coutinho. And I think we have seen large steps in that direction in this game. And I'm not quite sure if I remember correctly, the first two goals were actually Coutinho for Gnabry and Gnabry for Coutinho, mm-hmm. I think. So I think that says a lot there. This connection has been working now, and I think it's only going to get better. And yeah, I really have little fear for Serge Gnabry. I think he's going to be completely fine, and I still think he's going to be better than we have ever seen him in this season, I think. So, yeah, really, I don't see huge problems there. I guess it's going to be interesting when Perisic is completely back here. I think he was not completely fit on the weekend, if I remember correctly. So that's going to be interesting, because obviously not all of them can play all of the time, especially with the other players we have on offense, like Thomas Müller, for example, of course. But yeah, I think Gnabry is going to be fine with that. So yeah, that's going to be good. I don't see huge problems there.
Yeah, I think Perisic was out with a cold on the weekend, so it kind of, you know, made Niko Kovac's choices for the wings this weekend pretty simple. But I would agree with you. I don't think there's anything to fear with Gnabry anymore. I actually saw a tweet, I think, earlier this week that, you know, kind of said Gnabry's a notoriously slow starter to the season. So I think he's now scored earlier in a season than he ever has in his career. So this is actually a good start for him, if you will. But one player, Sebastian, I know that you're not so confident about, gives us a pretty good transition, is Thiago. And I think yesterday he just gave us more reason to kind of worry about him, or not necessarily worry about him, but worry about how he fits in the Bayern system, specifically as part of that double pivot, as part of that number six. Would you say yesterday he definitely added to your worries about how he can perform for Bayern Munich?
Yeah, of course. Undoubtedly, I knew that you had no choice but to bring this up, so I did not bring this up in my first statement today. Yeah, it feels good to be right, and I guess that this pretty much showed that I am kind of right about the whole Thiago situation. And of course, I think most of us here agree that this is not a solution at all on this position. Of course, you mentioned that, yeah, this brings us to think about what is Thiago's role in this club and in this team right now. I think there are definitely possibilities there, but yeah, it cannot be in a double pivot. And I hope Kovac knows that now. Taking him off the pitch so early, I guess, showed that he might have understood this now. But we thought this, I thought at least that he had understood this last season already. So, well, we're going to have to see, I suppose. But yeah, if Thiago can go back to how he played last season a lot of the time, when he was playing well, which was not such a rare occasion, of course, he needs to be in front of someone else who's taking most of those defensive responsibilities. And I think the best choice for that would be Javi Martinez. I can see that working perfectly well in a kind of asymmetric midfield, with Javi Martinez as the most defensive player, Thiago a bit more forward, and then of course someone like Coutinho or Thomas Müller in front of that. I think that can work well, very well, and I think that's probably Thiago's best position, because I don't think he is enough of a threat offensively to play an actual number 10. So yeah, I think there are possible ways to get Thiago back in there, but yeah, Kovac needs to think about how to do that and not just go to that, well, again and again, try to plug him in there in the double pivot, because that's just not going to cut it.
Yeah, I think of one instance in particular from yesterday's match. If you were to watch, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, when Thiago was under absolutely no pressure in midfield, and he got the pass almost exactly on the center line and just made this no-look pass back to Manuel Neuer. At least that's what it was supposed to be. And was extremely lucky not to have scored an own goal. He was a couple feet away from doing that. And it just, that image, or I guess those like 5 seconds, can kind of summarize how he's played this season. No pressure on him. There's no reason for him to do what he's doing, but he still does it. And then, you know, right after, he recognizes his mistake and he takes the blame or whatever, but that doesn't change that, you know, he's still making these needless mistakes that, this time it didn't end up costing the team too much, but usually end up costing the team pretty heavily. So that is a bit disappointing to see. You talked about how he was replaced at halftime by Javi Martinez. And so, Garrett, I want to come to you. Do you think that maybe that's a sign that Niko Kovac recognizes, okay, Thiago's not working in this specific system? He hasn't had a good game yet when played alongside Joshua Kimmich in midfield. Or I guess the alternative is to think that Kovac was just resting him to try and bring him back in on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's the cynic in me kind of thinks that that might be the case, is that, you know, looking at this game, we don't need Thiago for, so let's take him and get him some rest before the Champions League match on Tuesday. But you hope that's a sign that's like, yeah, okay, even against the bottom of the table Paderborn, you're still not playing very well, so maybe this just isn't the right spot for you, you know. And we've tried it, we've decided it was bad, and we've still tried it, and we've kept trying it, and then, you know, maybe one more time we'll try it, and then no, it's not gonna work. So maybe we just need to can that. And I hope that is kind of what we're seeing, is Kovac saying, okay, here's one more half. And and like you said, I think it's kind of complicated by the fact that, you know, like we want to get Thiago on the pitch in a place where he's going to succeed and really impact the game. The problem is that it doesn't seem like working with Joshua Kimmich has really done that. And Kimmich's been so good in the defensive midfield. How do you go away from that at this point? And you know, you move him back to right back, I guess, which is an option. But it's just worked so well with him in defensive midfield. You almost want to put a Tolisso there, or or somebody else, and just, I don't know. I don't know that you can get Thiago on the pitch at the same time as you're playing Kimmich in the midfield. And it have to be kind of what you mentioned, Sebastian, where you have Javi Martinez in a lone defensive position, and then Thiago playing a little bit ahead of him, and then Coutinho up there. Unless you're going to play, you know, two guys as an eight, you know, up in front of him, and try that way. But again, you're still dealing with, where do you put Kimmich? Is he moving back to right back now? And if that's the case, then, you know, we're, I don't know how many games, seven into this campaign, and he's played right back maybe, you know, two times this whole thing. I don't know. It feels like Thiago's going to have to be a guy that spells anymore, you know, spells guys for a match or for, you know, 60 minutes or whatever, more so than he is going to be this starting 11 guy. I don't know. It's just hard because, like you said, he still can make an impact. He's still a really good player. And I don't think that, you know, Bayern want to just get rid of him or, you know, relegate him to the bench all the time. But at the same time, now where do you put him? And I don't, that seems like a really difficult question to solve.
Yeah, I think that, and I'm going to use the word problem, but it's not necessarily a problem. But the problem is more so Coutinho than it is Kimmich, because Thiago traditionally, or I guess last season, would fill that kind of creative role from midfield. And now Coutinho's coming in and just kind of, he's really made that his position, his own, where he's the number 10. He's going to wander around the pitch. He's going to be like the creative force for Bayern Munich to unlock the defense. And I think that kind of diminishes Thiago's role in the team. So I don't think... go ahead.
I guess he's just like... to that point, it's just, it's being squeezed out. I mean, it's right. it's either you know, he's not the type of defender, mm-hmm. Or guy playing out of the back that we want, and he's also not the kind of, you know, creative number 10 that, you know, Coutinho is. And so, you know, now there's there's only one other midfield position, and I don't feel like maybe I'm ready to even go with Kimmich by himself in defensive midfield. So where are you going to go with that?
Right. And to the point Sebastian made, I do think that, you know, having Javi Martinez and Thiago and Coutinho could work. But I think right now I'd rather stick with what we know works. And that's, you know, having the double pivot, Kimmich and I guess at this point Tolisso, both playing as defensive midfielders, both playing a bit deeper, allowing Coutinho to have complete freedom to roam the final third and the attacking midfield as he wishes, rather than saying, okay, well, you know, we have to fit Thiago in, so let's change the system again and try and find something that works for him. I think it's better for Kovac to say, okay, well, we have a system that works. Now let's put the players in there. And if, you know, if Thiago can't make that work, as great of a player as he is, like you said, Garrett, maybe it's time that he spends a little bit of time on the bench. Maybe he becomes a bit of a more of a role player in the time or for the team for the time being. And, you know, it sounds crazy because we're talking about Thiago, and any club across Europe looking at Bayern would say, oh, I'd take Thiago and put him immediately in my starting 11, pretty much any club across Europe. So it is a very strange problem to have, I guess I would say. One thing that we saw yesterday that was, I guess, a very encouraging sign, since we've been talking about Thiago and it sort of being a discouraging sign with him, was Alphonso Davies playing 45 minutes at left back and actually putting in a pretty good shift. Now, I think you brought it up earlier, Garrett, that, you know, his positioning on the first goal was maybe a bit questionable. But, I mean, that first goal was an insane finish. And, you know, you can't hardly blame any one player for that. Sebastian, Davies is not necessarily a left back by trade. It's kind of a new position from him. So what did you make of his game there yesterday?
I was happy with it. I mean, that's the reason why we do this against Paderborn and not on Tuesday. This is obviously the place to try it and to let him have those mistakes without too big consequences there. I think he played very well for the most part. He obviously did not play perfectly, but who would have expected that? So I don't really think that's a huge issue. I guess I was a bit confused how Pavard still played very offensively after Davies came on, because it was kind of you would think to keep the balance, maybe Pavard would play a bit more defensively after that without changing too much. But yeah, I guess that was just a minor thing that kind of surprised me there. But yeah, I was pretty happy with Alphonso Davies, and obviously he's only going to get better. He obviously hasn't spent much time at that position, not in actual games, but probably also not too much in training, because he's just not that old yet. So yeah, I really think it's good, and we should continue doing this, trying him at this position, giving him more time to find out if this is going to be a thing that's that might happen in the future. Maybe he's going to be our number one left back at some point, and that would be great. Maybe not, but we just need to find out, and we need to find out early. That would be a good thing. So I like it, and I hope we go on with this. Maybe not on Tuesday, but I would like to see him back there again.
Yeah, I think you make a perfect point that, you know, against Paderborn, this is the time to try that. And, you know, people love to give Niko Kovac a hard time and criticize his lack of playing youth, but the man gave Alphonso Davies 45 minutes at a position that he's not totally familiar with in a Bundesliga match. So I think he has to at least receive some credit. I guess I have heard that Lucas Hernandez was taken out because he was feeling a slight pain in his knee. So hopefully that's nothing. But I'm still going to give full credit to Niko Kovac and say that he just wanted to give Alphonso Davies, one of the young guys, some minutes on the pitch.
I mean, he certainly could have, you know, done something different, right? I mean, he could have moved, you know, Kimmich back and, you know, tried to play Pavard at left back. You know what I mean? He could have done a bunch of different things, and to still give a, I think, is he Alphonso Davies is 20 years old, I think.
I don't even think he's that old.
19 or 20, and to give him 45 minutes at that position is...
He's still 18.
Okay, so even older than I was thinking was his younger. So that's pretty impressive for him. And I mean, I think that it... I don't fully get it because I don't fully understand. Like, I thought that, like, one of the... I thought I remember a quote from someone saying that, like, he's a winger going forward. We're just trying to, you know, try him out, give him more flexibility to get on the pitch or something like that. So I don't fully understand why they keep trying him at left back. But if it works out and they think that he's, you know, the heir apparent to Alaba, it would be great. And to see him play as well as he did, it wasn't fantastic, but it wasn't bad by any means. And, you know, you can live with, you know, a positional mistake here and there, against Paderborn. Yeah, hopefully we'll get to see him in that role, you know, here and there throughout the season, and pick good spots. And, yeah. Hopefully he does well.
Mm-hmm. I think to kind of answer your question about why left back, I think he is naturally a winger, and I think that's probably where his future lies. But man, the kid is an athlete. I mean, you can just look at him and tell that he is an athlete. He's strong. He's by all accounts the fastest player on our team, and that's evident anytime you watch a game. He's going to be the fastest player on the pitch almost all the time. But he's strong, so he's good to win the ball back. His defensive positioning and his actual, you know, tackling, it could arguably use some work. But we've talked about it before. Usually, like, if he gets beat by a defender, he just has the natural ability to catch back up and you know, get back and make up for, you know, whatever it is that they beat, how they beat him on the ball. So, honestly, I think he'd make a really good wing back. He kind of reminds me of, if you watch any Premier League games, kind of like Ryan Sessegnon. He's kind of between a left back and a left winger. You're not really sure which one, but he can get up and down the pitch. So, and then, you know, ultimately we don't have another left back behind David Alaba, except for Lucas Hernandez, who is a center back. So you got to play who you have. So, and for us, that means Alphonso Davies. Okay, well, Bayern Munich do have their first big Champions League test of the season this Tuesday when they're traveling to Tottenham to take on the Tottenham Hotspurs, who have really been struggling if you've been keeping up with the Premier League at all this season. It hasn't really gone as well for them as many would have hoped. I've seen some sort of hysterical fans even suggesting that they should fire Mauricio Pochettino, who just led them to a Champions League final last season. So they're really in disarray right now. As far as Bayern is concerned, things are really looking pretty good for us. For the most part, some fans have their own gripes about Niko Kovac, but that's generally just a vocal minority. We've talked about this a little bit. We've kind of beat around the bush with this a little bit, but how does Bayern line up on Tuesday, specifically in midfield, Sebastian? What do you think the approach should be?
It is kind of funny, by the way, that so many Bayern fans probably would still want their coach to be our coach, and they would like to have him gone. Anyway, let's not dwell on that too much. I guess the solution that comes to mind immediately, I think, is going back to Kimmich and Tolisso. I think that's what I would do. Maybe you could argue that Javi Martinez has earned his spot too, but I don't know why you would leave Tolisso off again. So I guess I would start with those two. They have played enough minutes together in the recent games. So I think that's going to be our safest and also probably our best solution at this point. Yeah, and I would leave the rest pretty much unchanged because there are not many options if you have Kimmich in midfield and Alaba probably still not able to play. So I guess that already with talking about our defense, I've kind of also gave you my 11. If we leave maybe the question if you're going to start Perisic out of this, I think I would stick with Coman and Gnabry there. So I guess that's what I would do there. And yeah, I'm pretty confident that this is going to be working out pretty fine, I guess. I think I'm kind of surprised myself that I have come to be kind of okay with Hernandez and Pavard as our fullbacks. I still don't love it, I suppose, but yeah, I think it's fine. I think it's better than I thought it would be. I still hope we're going to find new solutions there in the future, even if it is only to get Lucas Hernandez in the middle, but yeah.
For me, it seems like in recent years we've struggled much more to stop other teams from scoring goals than we have to score goals ourselves. And so having Hernandez and Pavard playing the fullback roles, if nothing else, makes us more defensively stable. So I do like that, even though, you know, in the past I've been the biggest proponent of Joshua Kimmich staying at right back. You kind of answered all the questions I was going to come at you with, Sebastian. So, you know, who goes on the wings? Does Coutinho start? And I think I'd probably agree with you with everything you said. Corentin Tolisso has to get back in the starting 11 for me. That's the only reason that I can see that you would have left him out this past weekend against Paderborn is if he's set to play on Tuesday. And I think he should. I think he should pair Joshua Kimmich behind Felipe Coutinho. And then I think Kingsley Coman, Serge Gnabry, they're still our best options at left and right wing. Even, you know, if you do want to bring in Perisic, I guess that's okay. But I'd probably rather see Coman and Gnabry still. And then after that, you know, given injuries and everything, the rest of the lineup kind of writes itself. So me and Sebastian are pretty much in agreement on our 11. Garrett, would you make any changes to what we've suggested?
I think the only difference for me is I would kind of prefer to see Perisic or Muller playing one of the wings, to be honest. I just think that in a match, the bigger of the away matches that we're going to have in this group, I think it'd be good to have guys who have a lot of Champions League experience and can kind of just be that veteran presence. Not that, I mean, Coman and Gnabry even have had plenty of experience in the Champions League, but I just think that this would be a good spot for specifically Perisic to come on and really make an impact. We've already seen that, you know, pretty much every time he's played, he's either created a goal or scored a goal himself. So I think it'd be good to see him. And then also you can always bring on one of the whoever you leave off at half or later on in the match. And I think that would kind of keep legs fresh, and especially, you know, since you still have a game at the, you know, next weekend. So, yeah, I think that would be the only thing. And even that I don't feel like super strongly on, but it feels nice to all be in agreement on this though.
I think you make a really good point. I know a lot of people don't necessarily love this term, but Ivan Perisic is very much a big game player. And I think you know, you make a great point. He's got a lot of experience under his belt. So maybe you've swayed me a little bit, or I could see him starting on the left wing and Serge Gnabry on the right wing. And then we have Kingsley Coman, who can come in, you know, later in the match when everyone's tired and just burn defenders with his pace and his ability on the ball. So I could be convinced that is the better way to go, especially with how well Perisic has been playing this season. I also think that he probably brings a little bit more defensive work than Kingsley Coman would. There's no doubt he's going to track back and, you know, really help defend. And you really need that when you're away from home. So I could be convinced that way. But like I said, no matter who it is that starts on the wings, I'm not going to be particularly upset, or I'm not going to have, you know, going to hate Kovac for choosing one player over the other. And like you said, Garrett, I think that's great that we can look at it that way rather than saying, okay, well, he has to choose this 11 or else I'm going to be unhappy. Except for, I guess, Sebastian might would say that if Thiago finds his way back into the starting 11.
I think we'd all be upset with that at this
point. Yeah, that would be crazy.
And that's really the only thing. And that's kind of it's a lot different than what we were saying going into the season of, you know, mm-hmm. we're like, well, where do you play this guy? Who plays here? And it seems like things are kind of settling in, and that's a really good sign.
You know, if you would be convinced that Tolisso would not be your guy in this match, I guess the easy choice would be playing Javi Martinez next to Kimmich then. But so I guess I'm pretty confident that Kovac is not toying with this option at all.
Yeah. And I would go so far as to say Kimmich is the definite option, one of the definite options in the field. Like, he's going to be there, Pavard right back. And the only question is who goes with Kimmich. And for me, it's Tolisso, then Martinez, and then Thiago, which it feels crazy to say, but just based on this season, he's pretty much the last player that we have available that I would want. I mean, I guess I'd probably play him over Kessiéns, but we haven't hardly seen any of him. Heading into Tuesday's game, how are you guys feeling? Do you know, feel overall feeling optimistic that we'll get a really important win away from home, or expecting something a bit less? We'll start with you, Garrett.
I think we'll find a way to be disappointed as as supporters, but I do think that Bayern will win. I think that it might be 1-0, it might be 2-1, something. I just expect it to be like a one goal thing, and I would just assume that there's just going to be all these, as there always is these moments of, if you just have finished our chances, and how did that not go in? How do you not, you know, we're just going to be second guessing, because that's what we do as Bayern fans. So, but I do, I mean, I'm confident. I wouldn't even say optimistic, but I would say I'm confident that Bayern should go and take care of business, against Tottenham. And there's really, it'll be a disappointment to me if they don't come away with 3 points, quite honestly, just given the form that Tottenham's been in, and just kind of how they've struggled really since they got Harry Kane back. It seems like they've struggled. So it seems more deeply seated than just, you're going to flip a switch and all of a sudden the light bulb goes on. So hopefully I didn't jinx anything, and now they're going to just go on a tear, but I'm feeling confident.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Anything other than 3 points would definitely be a disappointment, and Bayern should certainly be heading into this match expecting a win and wanting a win, especially based on the way that, you know, everyone's been playing. Coutinho's really heating up. Serge Gnabry is coming off a great match. Robert Lewandowski is Europe's best goal scorer by a long shot right now, so all of that should give the team confidence heading into the next match, I would think.
Yeah, I think in these last two matches, Bayern has been better than they have been in the games before. Even if you haven't watched those games, you probably would not know from the scorelines and from the stats and so on. And with Tottenham also struggling, I guess it might even be too good to be true at this point. That's my only fear. I think Bayern has looked very, very strong from my perspective, and they have looked strong in a way that makes me hope they're going to be even better against Tottenham. So yeah, I'm really hopeful here, and I think it's the right moment for this game. That could have been much worse in other situations, but right now I think it's the ideal situation to have this game right now, and I hope it pays off.
Yeah, absolutely. After Tottenham on Tuesday, Bayern face Hoffenheim on Saturday, who should be an even easier opposition, I would think. Hoffenheim have only won one game this season, been extremely disappointing, at least compared to what a lot of people expected, you know, whether you thought Hoffenheim would do good or bad. So they lost this past weekend to Gladbach 3-0. They're really not looking great. Is there anything you think maybe we should be worried about heading into next weekend's match, Sebastian? I know we still have that Tottenham game first.
Yeah, no, I don't think we should be too worried about Hoffenheim there. That doesn't look too great, what I've been seeing from them. It's a bit of a shame. While Hoffenheim is still a team that not everyone in Germany likes so much. They are kind of the little brother of Red Bull Leipzig, if you will. kind of the same thing, but on a smaller scale. And they are kind of in my region. I live like, what is that? Maybe 30 kilometers away from Hoffenheim, I think. I think for American standards, that's kind of nothing. That's kind of next door. So,
yeah,
it's a bit of a shame, but they look like maybe the team I expect the least from, because teams like Paderborn or Union Berlin or teams like those, they might put up a fight in these David against Goliath kind of mode, which Hoffenheim is probably not going to do. So, yeah, Tottenham is really the bigger issue from my perspective.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on, especially for like the big clubs like Bayern. It seems to always be the smallest teams that cause issues, whereas the lower, mid to lower table teams, you can usually just kind of go in and get an easy win, especially with, you know, everything Hoffenheim's gone through, losing so many players, losing a coach. It's a really tough time for them, so it would be extremely shocking to see Bayern go and drop any points against Hoffenheim. But that's all that we have for this episode. If you're a fan of the pod or if you've enjoyed listening, please do us a big favor and leave a 5-star review. We greatly appreciate it, and it would help us out a whole lot. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SuperBayernPod. You can reach out to us and get in touch with us there, or you can also email us at SuperBayernPod@gmail.com. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, all the major podcast catchers. If we're not there, let us know. We'll do our best to get on there, but we should be on whatever app you use. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.